things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week two of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the father, me, and son.
Me.
We bring it to you every week. And what a weird game we had this week. If you didn't get a chance to see it, but it was just strange all the way around.
Yep. Ended in a tie, Packers 29, Vikings 29. Mm-hmm. Multiple times it seemed like the Packers had the game clinched. They had won it. Then at the end it seemed like the Vikings had won it, mm-hmm. and they missed their third field goal of the game for us to end in a tie. So all around, just a weird game.
It was a roller coaster of emotions, which you want, you know. And in some parts, it was a great game. There were some great plays, and we'll get into it a little bit more. But unfortunately, the refs kind of made it their own game that they played with. So,
but yeah, so we 1-0-1, both the Packers and the Vikings going into week three. It was an important game for the Packers playing the Vikings at home. But unfortunately, we'll have to get up on them in the division when we play them in Minnesota. It would have been nice to get the win in Lambeau, but what are you going to do?
Well, before we get too deep into it, I want to congratulate Jerry Kramer, Lombardi area lineman, who was put into the ring of Hall of Famers in Lambeau Field. So that was good to see. Finally got himself into the Pro Football Hall of Fame after all of these years. So you want to talk about the officiating?
Not a good game for officiating. That's a lot of media has been going on today around just how badly officiated this game was. And I don't like, you know, to look back on a game and bring up officiating for reasons that a game ended one way or the other. But, you know, you have the Fail Mary game with the Seahawks. And then since then, this feels like the one that's been impacted the most.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing they're going to be talking about, the new NFL rules on protecting the quarterback. In Matthews, towards the end of the game, had a roughing the passer penalty. And I thought that the penalty, the Vikings had one as well, a roughing the passer. Mm-hmm. I thought on their penalty, you could see their linebacker actually leave his feet as he was picking Rodgers up and put him down. Mm-hmm. Matthews, I watched it over and over and over again today. And his feet, he always had one foot on the ground.
Yep.
And it wasn't like... He
kind of just browned down with his
arm. And then
arm,
he put his arm out to catch the...
Cousins didn't even go down hard. He just kind of fell down on his butt.
So I don't know if it's reactionary or what. I saw something today that the NFL is going to use that as a teaching tool. They're going to put that out in a video this week as a teaching tool of what not to
weren't
do.
Weren't we a teaching tool with the Fail Mary? It's so fun being a teaching tool.
But they're going to use it as it was a good call. And they're going to use it with the rest of the...
Well, I don't know. Not a good call. If anything, you just can't call that at that point in the game either, because for those of you who didn't see the game, it was fourth quarter. Last week, Matthews had a late hit on the quarterback late in the fourth quarter when we had the game sealed, and it let the Bears, you know, keep their hopes of winning alive.
Mm-hmm.
This time, not the case. You know, that was pretty unforgivable. He has even admitted that. This time, it was a clean tackle. Mm-hmm. It wasn't late. I don't know what you really want them to do there. And it is, you know, it's frustrating all around, and there was a lot of questionable calls and non-calls this game.
Mm-hmm.
And those weird calls with the quarterback as well. You had Mike Daniels get through to Kirk Cousins at one point for a sack, and he just let up.
When
Kirk pump faked because he thought he might be throwing and he didn't want to touch him, he literally didn't even, he just, he went away from him, and then Cousins got to pass it. And it's like, see, that's what happens when there's all this confusion around the rules. And it affects team seasons, you know. A lot of money goes into making sure you have the best season. Coaches and players put a lot of effort into it. And then you can somehow get into the regular season when everyone's confused on the rules.
Right. I think people are surprised, at least so far, the two games into the season. We thought it was going to be the lowering of the head and was going to be the big penalty that we're going to be dealing with. That hasn't been really a factor at all. It's this quarterback, the late hit on the quarterback. There was two plays that I saw as I was rewatching the game, too. One of them, it was just blatant where Rodgers had thrown the ball. I can't remember who it was for the Vikings, their defensive lineman. He had released the ball, was backing up, and the lineman just shoved him, pushed him backwards, and the ref is standing.
Yeah, I remember when they showed that one, yeah.
He's standing right there, and he just, like, turns his palms up to the sky like, what? Why are you looking at me?
So, next we have a list of the times the Packers won the game without winning the game.
Okay.
So, when Jimmy Graham got the touchdown called back because of a phantom holding penalty. And then when HaHa Clinton Dix interception was negated by poor clock management. Then when Devontae holding... I don't know. I typed that weird. Okay. I kind of messed that one. There was holding on Devontae's touchdown. Jair got that interception, and there was that bad roughing the passer call on Matthews we were just talking about, negated the interception Jair Alexander.
That's not exactly
had.
What you wrote here.
Yeah, well, it's a family show. Crosby's 52-yarder at the end of regulation was iced and then missed. And then for some reason we had a read option play with Rodgers on 2nd-and-1 in overtime, which, you know, why run read option when you have a quarterback with a bad leg and a brace on it? And anyways, it might have worked, but he dropped the ball. But we didn't lose. Those are just the times we should have won.
Well, we'll get into the play calling by McCarthy here in a couple of seconds. But those are the things where you're just looking at it, and some of those are just blatant as far as the referees taking control of the game. Mm-hmm. And on the calls that they had, it's like, what? What was that? I can't remember who it was that went up for, was it Geronimo? And the defender for the Vikings reached out and grabbed his arm. Like,
that was Adams.
Okay. And it's like, and you're, again, right there. Why wouldn't you call that?
Yeah, and then you have I forgot which announcer it was, but the announcer, I think it was Charles Davis. He's like, well, you know, that's just the ref saying you two got to work it out on your own,
whatever.
And you can push and fight, see who comes out on top. It's like, no, if they're pushing and fighting while Adams is trying to get away from them, that's pass interference.
Exactly.
In the last 2 minutes of a game.
I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan of him as an announcer.
No?
I am not.
Those two
actually
are,
gotten better. But
those two are the announcers on the Madden games now.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad I don't play.
How are you feeling about it now that you're a day removed from the game?
Well, you know, the phrase yesterday was, it was like kissing your sister. You know, it just isn't what you were hoping for. And it's a weird feeling because it doesn't happen very often. I think the last time we had a tie game, well, at least one tie game of the first two games of the season, was back in the early 70s. So it's just been a weird start to the year. But I'm not happy with it, but it's better than a loss. That's really the only way I feel I can look at it. How about you? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating that it felt like we should have won the game, but then it also in that fourth quarter felt like we gave the game away at some points.
Right, I agree.
So, all in all, it could have been worse, it could have been better, is how I see it. And my takeaway, and I'll go over this, you know, more later in the show, but I have a lot, I think, to be hopeful about this team from what we've seen in the first two games.
Yeah, I would agree with it, especially now we got a quarterback that's nowhere near 100%. It was really tough, though, going into the fourth quarter, 20-7 ahead, and then allow 22 points. I mean, they came right out of the gates in the second half and scored. And so that was really hard to see. How about that really cool retro red arrow that Fox brought back from the 1980s?
Couldn't point anywhere correctly.
I mean, come on, really? It's that was pathetic. And that especially, they had one play like they were pointing to three different people, and they pointed to the wrong three people when they did it. Come on, man. All right. And they also did have some audio issues on there, pretty big ones that surprised they weren't able to fix at some point during the game, where the audio would drop down, drop really low, mm-hmm. and then it would come back raging. So something wasn't right. So your favorite topic?
Moving on to play calling. McCarthy still had some headbanger timeout management. At this point, you just got to stop expecting it to get better. You know, it's kind of like how some pitchers can't throw the slider. McCarthy can't manage his timeouts. He's good in a lot of areas. We just got to learn to accept it.
I got to say this, though. So yesterday, Sean said that. He goes, I have gotten past it. It's not going to bother me anymore. And then McCarthy does something with the timeout, and you're like, oh, come on.
It was at the end of the game when he didn't make them waste their timeouts, mm-hmm. and he's heating steady, threw it into the end zone a few times, which, you know, it's hard because do you play conservative? A lot of people get bash him for playing conservative in that area. You know, we're up by a little bit late in the game. They have two timeouts that you want to force them to waste. So now common football knowledge says run the ball, make them blow the timeouts, then kick it, and then make them beat you with a little time left on the clock. McCarthy wants to go for the kill. And the thing is, if they had called the pass interference on Adams that you brought up, it would have been the game. Yeah. So there's a lot of little things that could go one way or the other.
I just wonder, and I don't know, I think I wrote this down here, forgive me, but we it felt like at parts of the game we lost our up-tempo play calling. And so I don't know if that maybe that was on purpose because Rodgers, you know, it was wearing him out too much with his injury by doing it, you know, not giving him that 30 seconds in between plays. Yeah. I don't know.
I would guess it's just running as much clock time when you're up.
Well, as soon as the fourth quarter, it seemed like it was hard to kind of get that feeling back again, which is one of the issues that can happen when you get away from it.
Mm-hmm. All right, you want to move on to offense?
Sure.
Rodgers, 30 of 42, 281 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He played with a brace on his sprained knee. From what I've heard, you know, haven't heard much about the knee, but from what I've heard, it's either a knee sprain or a bone bruise, and it's something that they don't believe could get worse.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
From him playing on it.
Good.
So,
well, you could tell that his mobility was limited as he was getting around there. But also, the big one for me was when he couldn't really push off on his back foot, so he came down hard on his left knee or his left leg. So he was really just mainly arming it. He wasn't really getting his whole body into it. So that made a big difference.
But what are you going to do? Because it is Rodgers. He also ran between the tackles for a first down and dove head first.
Head first. Say, no!
What? You know, it's just some guys you can't, you get them, you can tell them everything you want as a coach. Tell them, you know, you're too valuable. Here's what you need to do. And then they get out on the field. They see the first down. They're going to go for it.
Yeah.
That's how they got to this level.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's what you love in the guy. Same thing with Favre, you know. But I think Rodgers is actually a much smarter quarterback than Brett was. But you just want that competitor that every time.
Overall, though, brace or not, you know, lame knee or not, I thought he had a good game, especially against this Vikings defense. It kind of petered out a little bit in the fourth quarter when the momentum shifted over to the Vikings. But for the first three quarters, he kind of had their number. It felt like we were driving the ball. Yeah. The times we did have to punt were because of, you know, dropped passes or weird little mistakes. It wasn't really just bad offense. It's nice to see them in a rhythm where a lot of the past seasons we've had to see them kind of start out slow and ramp it up. But even with the brace, he's lethal. You know, he moved 40 yards in 25 or so seconds when the first play was a run to run the clock. So put him in field goal range. It's like, you can never count Rodgers out.
No. And you're saying, like, with the knee, they're figuring it's going to be about 2 months to heal.
Possibly. It's hard to tell. You know, it's kind of like if you sprained your ankle and you ask the doctor, how long is this going to be hurting me? They're going to go, I don't know.
Well, Mike, you're fat. You're out of shape. It's probably never going to get better.
At least you won't be walking on it.
Won't hit the excessive walking. Well, we talked about the timeouts, but how about him forgetting he had no timeouts at the end of the second quarter?
Not like Rodgers.
And he just kind of looks and goes, what, really?
Yeah, and he was kind of mad about it after. He was, like, yelling at the ref, and he was like, it's like he still thought he had one. He's like, who took my timeout? But, yeah, overall, good. I see you put down a note here that not good third down efficiency, 40%, 4 of 13. Part of that, too, is we played – the Vikings, who last year were the best third down defense in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they do best. 40%, I would say, isn't horrible, like, when you take in all the factors. Yeah.
Well, just remember, they weren't the best defense after that first half against New Orleans. After that, they fell apart.
And one thing we see a lot when Rodgers is, you know, he's had the calf injury before, the hamstring injuries, we've seen him play limited quite a bit over his career. And a lot of the times when they do that, when he's healthy, it seems like McCarthy will kind of just give him the reins, you know, backyard football, just run around, call plays at the line, because they win games that way. But when he is limited, it's more scheme and McCarthy, you know, getting guys open, getting the ball out quick. And I think one area, because we move the ball down the field when he plays like that, there's very little difference in Rodgers' efficiency, injured and not injured, in his career. He can still move the ball, but I see, you know, you put down here the red zone efficiency was bad this game, 1 for 5 on red zone trips. That's where that loss of Rodgers' mobility is going to kill us, because the field gets compressed, and it makes it easier for them to defend our guys. And when he can extend plays and roll out or buy time in the pocket, it opens up the end zone for them. And when he's not mobile, we lose that.
I agree. And what do you think? I asked it during the game. I don't know if you still have the same opinion, but do you think McCarthy's still doing most of the play calling?
I think so.
Even with their new
offensive
coordinator.
I don't think he'll give it up with how it went when he did.
Okay. Because I think that would really possibly open things.
Did Joe Philbin call plays when he was there on the Packers before?
I thought he did, but I know that there's, wasn't it like 3 years ago that McCarthy gave all the play calling duties to Philbin? I can't remember exactly how it worked, but I seem to recall that he did that because he thought it would help get the offense going, and then he took it back.
Like, well, that was last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah, not Philbin, but.
Okay. All right.
Moving on to receivers this game. We have spread the ball around, classic Rodgers style, in the first two games, and that has been fun to watch. We had Jimmy Graham, 6 catches, 95 yards. He finally got in the game this week.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Last week, I know a lot of people were disappointed with how little he was a part of it, but he had one big drop to start it, and then he kind of got in a rhythm. Adams looked good. 8 receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Allison, again, looked good. And then you had Cobb with a few catches as well. The only thing that really surprised me as far as the ball being spread around is that I thought Montgomery would be getting it more.
I know you're pushing for it.
I know. He's such a weapon in the passing game where you have, you know, that mobility and the versatility, and that's kind of where the NFL as a whole is headed. These guys who can do multiple things and be an all-in-one weapon so that you can't just game plan for them.
But in a real good athlete, I mean, all-around athlete, like Geronimo, who made a fantastic play on special teams. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But, yeah, it was very nice to see Graham get involved in the game. They are passing it around, which is wonderful for play calling. Horrible if you're the defensive coordinator. It's great.
And that's when we've seen the most, you know, dangerous Aaron Rodgers offenses over his career. You had 2009 through 2011, I think it was, is when we were at our peak offensively, and we had Finley. And even though he had stone hands and would drop it half the time, the fact that you still have to cover and worry about such an athletic guy at tight end, it opens up so many possibilities on offense. So hopefully Graham can, you know, really change how things are going to look here.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. I just think I'm excited for our receiver core. If they stay healthy, I think they're going to be hard to slow down. We have Aaron Jones coming back from suspension now for week three, so maybe Montgomery will. They'll have two solid running backs in front of him. Maybe he'll be opened up more in the receiving game now.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think? Because we're pretty much going to – I'll make this note, then I'll ask you the question. Adams leads the league in touchdowns since 2016 with 24.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty dang cool. So
we actually – of the five leaders since 2016 for receiving touchdowns, they were either on the Packers or now are on the Packers, because it was Adams, Jordy, and Jimmy Graham.
Yep, yep. Yeah, so. I saw that. Before we break down this game, I want to ask you about what's your feeling on running back by committee versus having one guy be your main guy?
I think it's what you have to do now. One, because of the just the beating players take. You know, you have your feature backs, and it's you give them 30 to 40 carries a game, they're lucky to make it through a season.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they might not be quite as durable the next season, or, you know, they're three seasons and out. Because if you have these talent guys, and the NFL is moving more away from guys who know how to play football, and guys who are just athletes,
right,
and athletic, and you can coach them later. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to invest in talent and athleticism, you don't want to see it get injured.
I think that you're exactly right. Hard for an old guy like me, because I'm
used to Walter Payton, who you hand it to
100
times a game, and he'll get you 4 yards a carry, and you'll win.
You don't get good until you get sweaty. But a lot of these guys are coming up through college, and they get used a lot in college. So they're
especially if they play for Wisconsin.
All right, Jamal Williams is a solid back, and he came through for us in some big moments.
Yeah, I like how he fights for yards. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, watching him on third down and short. I feel pretty confident when he's in there that he'll put his head down and get those yards. But I am excited to see Aaron Jones come back because I think he'll be our featured back. I think he has just kind of he's the best running back talent-wise, I think, on our team. And then I think, you know, Jamal Williams will just be a really good complement with him there, and it will open up the gadget plays and wheel routes for Ty Montgomery. And one of the best things I think we've seen, we haven't had, you know, a 100-yard rusher yet in the first two games, or really a standout running back performance, but we have been seeing some great blocking by the running backs, both by Williams and Montgomery this
very
last
game.
Yeah,
that is good. Just try to bring up the stats here for the running game.
Go up. You're so bad at this every year. They haven't changed this since we started the podcast.
But see,
this screen has always been the same.
So
you're looking right here for our rushing. Is that what you're looking
right
at?
Right there. Okay, so Williams had 59 yards, Montgomery 31, and Rodgers had 8.
You know, 3 rushes for 8 yards is not impressive by Rodgers. There seemed to be something slowing him down this game.
What the heck?
I don't know what it
Trade
was.
Trade him before anybody else figures it out.
But like you were pointing out, I think it's going to be a league-wide thing that the game is moving away from featured backs. Especially with the added emphasis on protecting quarterbacks, it's going to be a more pass-heavy league.
Mm-hmm.
If the rules are going to be this tailored to keeping quarterbacks on the field and healthy, teams are going to be less scared to have their quarterback throw it 50, 60 times a game, because you're not going to have Brett Favre in the championship game against the Saints when he was on the Vikings, and you know that he posted all those pictures and after the game of the bruises, and I think that's where Bounty Gate came from.
Exactly.
That's kind of what keyed them into it. Like, we got to do something about this. But I think it's going to be more pass, you know, heavy than ever if these rules are going to move in the way they seem to be. And it won't be worth it to pay the price you need to for a premium back, the Le'Veon Bells of the world.
What a crazy thing. I mean, you're old enough to know it used to be like fantasy football. That was one of the first things you picked, was your running back for the points. Hey, before we move on to the offensive line, I want to forgot to mention it last week, and she was mad at me all week. Our bleeding green and gold mascot lady is right next to our recording booth, and I want to thank her for always being there for us.
Lady?
You might even
for,
hear
for
her
those who
in
don't
the
know who Lady is, because Mike's not being descriptive. She is a 100-pound Bernese Mountain Dog and avid Packers fan.
And she's a lap dog.
Tough defense to play against as an offensive line. But as far as protection, I thought they played well. I thought there was a lot of mistakes penalty-wise, and when they did blow a block, it was not pretty.
No, was it? I mean, they're so fast on that defensive line. But, I mean, so that's always the hard part about weighing the scale of your opponent to the way your team is playing. I wasn't that fond of it. There was a lot of mistakes that that happened on there. And
no one was really free from them on the offensive line this game. It felt like, you know, everyone was getting penalties called.
Yep. Penalties or missing blocks. I think Rodgers was sacked 4 times, I believe. But he was hit a ton more than just those sacks. But again, he wasn't always helping himself either. I mean, he was hanging on to the ball sometimes or scrambling.
Well, that's Rodgers' MO. People talk about how he doesn't throw interceptions. Well, that's because he's always believed sacks are better than interceptions.
Yeah, especially if you've got a bum knee.
I was trying to look up really quick how many holding penalties each team had in the game because I don't know if they got called for many at all, the Vikings offensive line.
Okay.
But there were, you know, this isn't hyperbole, but there were dozens of missed holding calls where they were just blatantly holding on to guys. And we constantly had rushers in the backfield that were just getting hugged, and it was infuriating. But we had some kind of ticky-tack ones called.
Yeah, it's like they're going, oh, we better call one to make up for the ones we didn't call. All right, it was 4 times, and it was a loss of 28 yards that Rodgers got sacked 4 times.
Overall, especially against this defense, I was happy with the way that our offense played. I think we're going to have any defense that we play this year is going to have a hard time stopping them from scoring, and it'll keep us in any game. And we'll especially be in those games because our defense seems to be much improved just since last year. In the first 2 games, Packers went into the game allowing opponents to score 50 consecutive trips to the red zone. Did we break that streak?
No. Didn't the first time like they it. Made it to the red zone, they scored.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. Overall, first 3 quarters of this game against a good offense, one of the best, you know, receiving cores in the league right now, Kirk Cousins, who is one of the top quarterbacks. Really, the only thing you can say about their offense is that their interior line is a little shaky. But we held them to 7 points in the first 3 quarters, and that's impressive, and that's going to win us a lot of games.
With their offense too is their kicking game, and I'm sure there's going to be some kickers that are being tried out in Viking land.
Yeah, not a good track record the last few years for teams that draft a kicker to then go and have that kicker make kicks because the Chargers did it last year, and it kind of was the curse of their season.
And this could be the Achilles heel for the Vikings if they don't rectify it, because it wasn't like he was just missing it close. But all right, so we'll talk about that a little bit in the special teams. But I agree that the defense really, especially the young guys on our secondary, they're really, really looking good.
Yeah, I like our young guys in the secondary. For the first half, they just, you know, they were all over them. No guys were open. They really just smothered the receivers. And I think it goes back to with these, you know, Josh Jackson and Jair Alexander, these guys were so pumped up about to finally have a secondary now in their rookie years. It just goes back to that drafting for athleticism. You know, they're fast. They jump. You know, Kevin King had a great game. He went out with a groin injury, but he was playing well. It's fun to see coverage in the secondary and not always having a guy running free.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all great, but we did give up 22 points in the fourth quarter.
22 points in the fourth quarter, 480 yards overall. A lot of that came in the fourth quarter when you're kind of playing that bend-don't-break defense, though. And then due to multiple weird situations we've talked about already, those bend-don't-break moments became breaking moments.
Yeah, they almost broke us, too.
Yeah, so, but overall, I was happy with it. My main issue with our secondary was that in the end of the game when it was, you know, everything's on the line, we have Devon House and Tremont Williams as our main corners in there. And, you know, I got nothing against the guys, but Devon House is definitely not our best corner. Tremont Williams, he's, you know, a good veteran, and I'm glad he's back on the team, but he's not our speediest, best covered guy.
Right.
You need the guys in there that have been playing well. And we basically saw that from Pettine, that after Devon House gave up a bad reception, they pulled him and put Jackson back in. But you got to be doing that from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know, so... I guess that's just frustrating. Him and Alexander, though, they look good this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun to see.
They really did. And, boy, it's how long has it been since we've been able to sit here and glow about our secondary and our defense? I mean, our defensive line looked good.
Well, there, you know, this was a great game for Kirk Cousins, especially the second half. You know, one of his better games in his career. He really kind of figured things out, made some amazing throws. But there was three or four interceptions we could have easily had off of them that went off of people's hands, mm-hmm. or there was calls that negated them. You know, he almost threw three in a row at one point. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that we're getting those opportunities, we're not going to get every interception, not going to recover every fumble. But that over the course of 2 weeks, we've had so many mm-hmm. turnover opportunities is just saying something about this defense and the attitude of a ball-hawking defense.
And I would say that this was a much bigger challenge than last week with the Bears. This is a much better team, period. And Cousins is good. He's a little streaky and get flustered, but they all do. But he's a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm happy with the way it went. I'm happy with the opportunities they got on defense, a lot of the individual plays that were made. And I think we're going to see a lot of turnovers this season.
Oh, wonderful.
Because 2010, when we made our Super Bowl run, that season we were the biggest turnover differential mm-hmm. in the league.
Yep.
That wins games.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wins these tight games, mm-hmm. especially. So I'm excited. I think it's going to get better. And hopefully next week, I believe this is the case, but we're going to have Oren Burks on the field. I've been excited for him. He's just another athlete. You know, he's a young guy coming in now. Going to be coming in at middle linebacker, and so hopefully we're not moving Clay Matthews into middle linebacker to heal some holes, but I think he's going to be good. He's not going to be that big physical stuff the run guy like Jake Ryan, who unfortunately is out for the season,
mm-hmm.
but overall I think it, you know, no offense to Jake, but I think it could be good news for the Packers mm-hmm. overall, because it's going to force them to move into a faster linebacker core. Oren Burks is a coverage guy. Won't be great against the run, but he'll be very good at just, you know, helping stuff the middle of the field, where we've over the years been so vulnerable in the middle of the field.
Man. Yeah.
And I'm hoping Oren Burks solves that.
Well, cool. We did have, like I mentioned earlier, that our defensive line was getting some good pressure. They look good. They're doing some different plays as we were hoping, and like not necessarily blitzing, but they're stunting.
Running stunts yeah. and twists, and a lot of times only rushing with four guys but still getting pressure because they're running stunts. And, you know, it adds up. You run a stunt on one play and it's not going to work, but two plays later when you do it again, it's going to throw mm-hmm. off that same lineman. You get guys open this way without having to sacrifice the coverage.
One thing I was going to – you were talking about Burks and Matthews, and he had a couple of – close plays, like mm-hmm. one where he was just missed knocking the ball to Cousins' hand. And so it's just, again, one of those, you never know what would happen, but it's good to see. It, you know, we're not the Browns. We're not cheering for close plays,
mm-hmm.
but you like to see that they're still there.
Another thing that frustrates me about the officiating on this game is that I think, you know, the line play at the line decides games. You know, that's where the trenches are. That's what dictates pace and what's going to happen. And we were just destroying the inside of their line. Daniels, Wilkerson, Kenny Clark, you know, they were having their way a lot of the times, getting two guys and getting past them. And the way that the officiating was calling and, you know, calling the roughing the passer when we saw it with Daniels, not even willing to hit the QB and letting up the throw, that takes away one of our biggest advantages this game, which is that we were getting through their line.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating.
It's not going to go away. I mean, if they're going to keep doing this, I don't know what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to tackle a quarterback. So you might have to be like, they put maybe some flags on their hips, and then you, once you pull that flag off, they're down because we can't hit them.
Or we could, you know, tie pillows around them so they look like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Hey, I got some extra
bubble
wrap.
Or the Michelin tire guy. Yeah, let's move on to special teams. I was happy overall with the way the defense played. There was frustrating moments, but I think they look impressive compared to last year especially.
I like this. I mean, we're only two games in to a new coordinator. So, yeah.
I think it might be weird for some listeners. They're like, you know, this was, we were supposed to win this game, and then we tied, and they sound okay about it. But, you know, yeah, it sucks that that's how it ended up, and that's the result we got. But we didn't lose, and there's a lot to be hopeful for on this 2018 team.
We are a good, we played a very good Viking team.
Crosby. He was 5 for 5 on field goals, having a big day, and made his 6th of the day. Would have been a personal record for 52 yards to go ahead and win the game for the Packers. And Mike Zimmer, the Vikings head coach, ices him after he's kicked it, makes it, kicks it again, misses wide left, I believe.
I believe you're right, yeah.
And, yeah.
And, the look on Crosby's face when he did it, he's like, I am so much better than somebody being able to ice
me. You just got to feel bad for the guy. He was having such a good day, too. And you can't even blame him for anything, because you can't ask a kicker to make 6 field goals for you to win a game. You know, it's not.
I think the Vikings would be happy with 1.
Yeah. We did have that punt block for a touchdown. Geronimo broke through and got a hand on it.
That's what I was talking about before. What an athlete.
Was it Alexander who caught it in the end zone?
Oh, I don't remember.
But that was impressive, and that was exciting. You know, that's just that attitude. You can tell when teams have the attitude to win, or if they're the Lions. And
well, talking about having a great game, Crosby, as the field goal kicker, had 17 of our 29 points.
Not bad. Too bad he didn't have 20 of our 32 points.
Come on.
I'm just saying. J.K. Scott looked good. 5 punts, averaging 45.2 yards. That's not bad. Shaky kick coverage all game, I thought.
I agree. On both parts, on punting.
Yeah, it didn't bite us too much. Like, at most, we let up maybe 20 or 30-yard returns at certain points. But it was so close a couple times to going back.
We had
back.
One that they got a heck of a return on a kickoff.
Yeah, I think they got it on their side of the field.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, we didn't have Minnesota special teams. You want to move on to final thoughts?
Sure. Why not?
What's your final thoughts on the game?
Well, I think that we've kind of covered it pretty well. I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but...
The way it ended with officiating is going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. It's unavoidable.
Yeah. And there's always – I watched the highlights for the Redskin game, and which – but, I mean, there's just – NFL isn't like watching Alabama play, where they're just going to just run 70 points on the next guy. There's talented people on every team, no matter what the record is. So you're going to have parts that happen that you're upset that a player didn't maybe make the play you wanted, or maybe the other player from the other team held it up or whatever. But I'm ready to move on. I'm, you know, we get to play your mom's favorite team, the Redskins, coming up after the Packers is her favorite team. We keep reminding her of that. But
yeah.
You? What's yours?
it, you know, very similar. And like you said, we've talked about already where it's a bummer. This was a big game. It's a big game for our season, especially one of the bigger ones. And we didn't win it, but we also didn't lose it.
Right.
And a game is not decided, or a season is not decided by one game.
Mm-hmm.
I could see us still getting a number 1, 2, 3 seed. I think from what we've seen from a lot of teams, the Eagles haven't been as good as a lot of people thought. They've been really shaky the first 2 weeks. The Saints look, you know, horrible.
Yeah.
Besides on their passing game.
Right.
And just a lot of teams we thought we'd see a lot more from. I'd say a lot of people would make the argument right now that the top three teams in the NFC is Rams, Vikings, and Packers.
And I got to also point out there, now we just finished our second regular season preseason game.
Yeah.
And now we start seeing teams get much better because you shelve so many.
September
of your
is still pretty much preseason
yep.
in the NFL the way they've set it up nowadays. So we'll move into October football, and we'll see what these teams really have. But in many ways, as much as I hate to say something is a moral victory, I see this as kind of a moral victory for the Packers that they were able to play one of their toughest games of the year, and, you know, they can tell themselves, we can beat that team.
Yeah, like, I think that
we took the best they had and gave them more back, and we can do it again.
And with our quarterback, we weren't sure was even going to play. He definitely is hurting more than – I was going to use the line where you're talking about Rodgers forgetting where he was on timeouts, and I was going to say, no pain pills, huh? He has to be taking something.
Supposedly he's not.
Yeah, that's
they
what they
came
say.
Out and said.
They never admit it when they do.
All right, next week we have the Washington – Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we already played Kirk Cousins. What a weird world.
For those who don't know, he used to be the quarterback for the Redskins.
Yeah. What do you think about this game going into it? How do you feel?
You know, I've told you I watched that 5-minute synopsis that NFL.com puts up there, and I'm watching the game. It's hard to tell if the Colts D was that good or the Washington Redskins offense is that bad, because the Redskins only scored 9 points off of 3 field goals. But I watched back and forth. They've got some players, like I said, every team does. But, boy, my take on it, it looks like we should win this one pretty good.
Yeah, I think we've had two tough games to start the season, and I think this is the first one we could see kind of what this offense can do when it's running full speed with a defense that can't keep up with it. I don't see the Redskins really I don't see it being a close game. Obviously, it could be. It's the NFL. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, I think it's going to come down to the Packers' energy. We've talked a lot about attitude going into the second half of last year. Now, the beginning of this year, we've been talking a lot about attitude. And when you have a big game and a weird game like they did in week 2 now and ending in a tie, I think your morale can go one of two ways where mm-hmm. nothing's going to quite go right for us this year, or you can, you know, take the high road and be like, you know, we're kicking butt in a lot of areas that we were struggling with in years before, and I think that's really going to be what makes or breaks them. It's going to be themselves.
I think that second week in a row where Matthews is one of the main topics for the next game. You know, last week he admits it was a stupid penalty that he got called on. This one, you know, it's debatable depending on who you ask, especially if you're a Viking fan. I'm sure if it was a good call or not for him to get pass interference, but or roughing the passer, I should say. But, I think they'll be fine. I really do. I think I'm not worried about the morale. I think they'll be fine.
One thing I want to say about the roughing the passer thing before we move on to kind of wrap things up here
mm-hmm.
is that I do like that the NFL is trying to keep guys healthier and keep players more safe. I just think with how much money that, you know, this whole organization makes as a whole and how much money gets pumped through it every year, they could be doing it better than they are.
Mm.
But I do like the move towards safety. I don't agree with people saying it's ruining the game and things like that. I think they need to do what they're doing for the NFL to survive. They're just not doing it quite right yet.
Okay, well, I'll agree with that. And I will also throw out there that I think it's not pure as a freshly driven snow with their reason why they're doing it. It also hurt. The ratings were down last year because we lost some really good quarterbacks.
Well, the NFL is a business.
Exactly.
The NFL will do whatever is best for the NFL. It's like Colin Kaepernick now getting this big multi-million dollar deal from Nike, and people are all either upset about it or, you know, feeling one way or the other. Nike wouldn't have done it if it wasn't the best business decision. They don't want to be on the wrong side of history in 10, 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And it's not out of the blue either. They've been working with him since his career started.
Right after they did it, their stock went down a little bit or something, but now it's like gone way up.
That's how it works.
Yep. And so, and
no,
look at all
publicity's
that free
publicity. Bad publicity. Yeah. All right. We're getting off topic here.
Yeah, it's cool. We don't do that very often, but
you know what? You know what I do find myself often needing, though?
What is that, Sean?
Voiceover work.
which is what I do. And on my side stuff that I do, it's my, besides talking to Sean and about Packers. And it's a really good tip from my daughter. She said, you know what? You should have one. You should do a voiceover commercial for your voiceover business. Man, she's a brilliant girl, isn't she?
I thought it was an okay idea. I thought it was more surprising you hadn't come up with it yet.
No, that's not surprising. The easy ones.
Good job, Jenny.
But it, you know, one of the big things is e-learning, and that's, and some people go, "What the heck is that?" Well, let's say you you have a new employee, and you can show him on a computer. You could actually do stuff that it, and I can do the voice work for you, talking about welcome to the family. This is how we do business. Or you can use it as a sales tool. If you're a pharmaceutical sales rep and you want to be able to show some of the stuff that you can do, I can record the voiceover for you. It's just endless and different stuff, TV commercials, radio commercials, telephone. You know, I can be the guy that says, we appreciate your call. Please hold. While you're holding, I can tell about your business. So it's all found at voiceguynextdoor.com. That's voiceguynextdoor.com. So there you go. How do we do on our picks?
Well, hold on, Slugger, because last week...
Oh, Slugger.
Slugger, old sport. We forgot the game ball.
I know we did.
Talk about off-season rust.
It was tough, too.
People's favorite segment. We're getting hate mail from around the globe. Saying, where's our game ball?
Yes, yes.
And so I don't think we can miss it this time, or the show might go under.
All right, let's do it. All here's right. The game ball. It's an easy one this week.
Mason the Leg Crosby.
The Leg Crosby. Sounds like he's a WWF or something.
Yeah. You know, with the kicking... the first few weeks around the league that we've seen.
Oh, man, that's a good point.
It's been horrible, and it just makes you glad that despite Packer Nation yelling out, saying to get rid of him, this coaching staff stuck with Crosby when he was struggling.
Yeah.
Because he has just been solid for us.
And since we're talking kicking, you liking this new kid we drafted for a punter?
Yeah, the California surfer-looking kid.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
So far, so good.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he got was a nice shaky against
his
the
first
Bears.
Punt of the game this last week was within the 10-yard lines.
Yep. So I'm liking it. I think he's gonna hopefully continues to get better, and then just nice and steady, nice and steady.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we can move into picks.
All
so
right.
Looking back at last week's picks, Lions at 49ers. We both took the 49ers, and the 49ers won. We're still even there. Seahawks and Bears will be starting their game in about half an hour, playing Monday night. We are recording this Monday night. Vikings at Packers. Neither of us picked them to tie, so we both got it wrong. And I believe, did we differ on? Yeah, we did. I picked the Bears, you picked Seahawks. So we'll see where we differ on that one. Well, but for now, we don't have anything to update you guys on a score. For the running one.
And I don't think whatever it comes out to be, it's going to change much looking at what we got to pick this week. I don't see us going opposite on anything.
Well, first one, Bills at Vikings. Let me throw one quick fun fact out at you.
Please.
So, Nathan Peterman, the Nathan Peterman experiment, where last season they put him in, he threw five picks in one half. And they have Josh
You're
Allen.
You're speaking of the Bills.
The Bills, sorry. Yes. That's who the Vikings will be playing. Josh Allen, this stud rookie quarterback they drafted, instead they decided last week to start Nathan Peterman. And he had a zero quarterback rating while he was in the game before
that.
They pulled him. So he has never actually, in the games he has played in the NFL, he's never actually gotten past a zero quarterback rating. And the Bills now, through two games, have been outscored 6-68.
Oh, my gosh.
So who would you like? Bills at Vikings. Go.
Well, it's a tough one.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to go with the Vikings.
I'll go with the Vikings as well. Moving on, this one's kind of hard. Bears at Cardinals, because we don't know how the Bears will perform tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears. The Cardinals haven't been looking good.
So. No, they haven't. I'll go with Cardinals at home, though.
Oh, wow. It's okay.
Not, yeah. Patriots at Lions.
Pats.
Yep. Redskins at Packers.
No, we're at the Redskins, aren't we?
Packers at Redskins.
Okay. Got to go with the Packers.
Yeah, I'll go with the Packers. So we differ. Bears at Cardinals.
Yeah, which I debated a little bit on it, but I thought it was a slam dunk, because I thought the Bears, like you said, you don't know how they're going to play tonight, but just from what we saw when we played them in the first week.
Yeah, they're going to be improved, whereas I think the Lions took a heavy step backwards from what we've seen.
Yeah, that I don't know how much you can put in that first game, but wow.
You know what's funny? All the hype around the Giants this offseason and the Odell Beckham contract, you know, news all offseason. Giants were supposed to finally get back to the limelight. We can start throwing them in prime time again.
Mm-hmm.
So they have looked horrible the first two weeks.
I haven't watched any of them.
Not good. and they now have three primetime games in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to be a lot of Giants hopefully picking it up, but who knows?
All right. Well, thank you.
That's week two of the 2018 Green Bay Packers season. Thank you for listening.
Hey, I want to thank you. You know, we do have a Facebook group, Leading Green and Gold, that you can please go and join us. And had some nice comments, people thanking us for doing the podcast again. I saw one, they said we weren't sure if you were going to. It's great to see it back. And that's also a place where you can reach out to us. And if you have something you want us to talk about, if you have just want to bring up a topic within the group or anything like that, we'd love to get your feedback.
Yeah, and we also post the new episodes on the Packers subreddit, Green Bay Packers subreddit. And if there's enough interest, let us know on the Facebook group or email the show and let us know. We can start our own subreddit as well.
Oh, cool.
And
never thought about that.
Post stories and stuff up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the show. Share the show with your friends, your Packer friends. It's going to be an exciting season. You got to keep up on all the Packer news. Mm-hmm. Leave us a 5-star review. And until next time, go Pack go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack go!